We are back for another very exciting episode of Benchwarmers. Well, it's not because of us. You kind of, you know what you're getting with us too, but
yeah,
this will be a very quick intro, but we are about to get our man, Mr. Cordy V, Cordell Volson, on the phone.
Cordell Volson part two.
He's the man. We'll be right back with our Cordell Volson interview. All right, joining us now from beautiful, beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio, is our good friend, former teammate. I'll say always teammate. We're not current teammates, but we're never former. Once a Bison, always a Bison. This big guy's headed to the AFC Championship game this week. So crazy. We have Cordell Volson with us. Cordell, thanks for hopping on, buddy.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, once a Bison, always a Bison, forever teammates. Cannot wait to get this show rolling.
Does once a Bison, always a Bison apply to everybody that was a Bison?
No.
There's your answer.
We can get into that later.
I want to do it right now. That's a very nuanced conversation because there are some people who play 2 years that I think get to wear the once a Bison, always a Bison. I think there are guys who play for five that don't. So, I mean,
I would agree.
I knew you would. All right, that's all I have for that. Cordell, you're coming off a big win. You and the boys in the striped helmets. You know, I think you would have won by 40 had you worn the white helmets out in Buffalo. But that's just me,
especially in the snow.
Yeah,
we would have been camouflaged.
There was I don't know if you probably not. You're not on Twitter or anything, you ogre, but there was an article that came out and a fake account tweeted that it's an unfair advantage that the Bengals get to wear all white because the Bills players can't see them, and somebody from like Sports Illustrated wrote it as a real article that fans were mad. But no, big win. You broke my father's heart. That's okay. I'd rather see you win than him. So just kind of describe that atmosphere out in Buffalo. You said it was pretty insane just from early text, but like, what is it compared? Did you see anything like that in college that compared to it?
I don't think we played anywhere in college like that. College fans are a little more PG than they are in the NFL. You're rolling up to the stadium, and in Buffalo, it's kind of neat because you're coming to the stadium and like everyone's tailgating in their front yards. I mean, people's yards are just packed with vehicles and stuff, and freaking bonfires in the middle of their yards and whatever. But yeah, you're driving, and no surprise if you see someone's bare rear end.
Are you talking about an ass, Cordo?
Can we say that? Did Ross give approval to you guys?
Yeah, we can say everything but the F word, your favorite word. So we're all systems go here.
Yeah, so you could see a couple bare asses here and there. but yeah, it was cool. A really cool experience. And then like we got out there, and then you know like how you go for the pregame warm up type thing, you know?
Yep.
Where you're just kinda out there doing your thing, and it's beautiful. It's like 35 degrees, no snow, and then we come out for the actual pregame. And it's just dumping snow, and the place is just roaring. We're getting booed, but it was really cool. It was a really loud, great environment. I don't know if there's anywhere that compares to it in college.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of similar setting to like South Dakota State, where it's kind of like. It's not a really high stadium, but it's like a wider stadium.
Sure.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really neat experience. Very happy to have gotten an opportunity to play there.
Yeah. I know you're one of those guys that like lavish being the bad guy. So I know you love like running out on the field, getting screamed at. I know you soaked up every minute of that, and you probably just appreciated, you know, that fan base because, you know, us too, we're Chargers fans. We don't know what a home game is, so
we are not Chargers fans any longer.
Speak for yourself.
This is an official Bengals fan only podcast. Oh. I went and looked at like Bengals gear for fans. They have some like I don't know why I never looked or noticed before. They have some of the coolest looking like sweatshirts, jackets that I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, orange and black and white, it's hard to mess up. You can do a lot of cool. You have a pretty good avenue to go with that. But it just seemed like the perfect storm. I'm going to level with you. I thought it was going to be more of a puncher's chance here in this game. I thought it was going to be closer than it was in the divisional round, just with everything surrounding Buffalo. And then obviously we can get into it later with you, but you know, you guys are losing guys on the offensive line. Damar Hamlin is back in the stadium against the team that they played when it happened.
Allegedly.
And shut up. But it's just like, it was like a perfect storm, it felt like, for Buffalo to write their Cinderella story. And you guys just took over the game from the jump. What was your game plan? Was it just like, you know what? What do we have to lose? Let's go after this thing. Or what were you guys thinking pregame?
Yeah, you know, throughout the week, we had a good idea of ways to get them into some ideal looks for us in the run game by getting some of their linebackers out of the box and making safeties have to fill. And you know, our run game was probably the best it's been all year the other day. And when you're able to run the football like that and you have probably the best quarterback in the league slinging the rock to some of the best wide receivers in the league, you know, that results in a great, great combination. And you know, when you're able to jump on a team and get up 14 to nothing like that, that totally changes the way that they play the game as well. And it allows our defense to pin their ears back, let guys like Trey Hendrickson go and rush the passer. And then it allows us to kind of do what we do. You know, we're a type of team that in 4-minute situations, we're still going to throw the football just because we have so much faith in our receivers and tight ends and Joe to make those plays. But it was just kind of the perfect storm for us. You know, things got rolling. We started off fast and just kind of got ourselves out to a quick jump and something that they couldn't come back from.
Yeah, Cordell, you talked about, you know, or Zach talked about guys stepping in. What do you have to say about those three guys that came in on Sunday on the O-line? Obviously, I think before last game, you've had three starters go down in your previous three games. Just talk about those three guys and kind of what, I don't know, what their attitude was going into that game and what your guys' collective attitude was. Because like you said, it was one of your guys' best performing, like, running games, and it's, you know, three backups compared to the rest of the year.
Yeah, it was crazy, you know, because after the game last week against Baltimore, Ted Karras, our center, brought us together, our O-line, and said, guys, we got nothing to lose. You know, there's no pressure on us. Nobody expects us to play well. Just go out there and let's play fast and you know, see what we're all about. And we had a great week of preparation, and those guys have all played a lot of football. So just having them step in and play extremely well. And our coaches did a great, great job of putting us into positions for us to be successful. So, you know, a ton of credit to those guys for rising to the occasion and taking full advantage of their opportunity.
There was that clip of the O-line coach that came out. It must have been when you guys had the defense was out there, but it was towards the end of the game right after the play at the goal line. But you guys were still on the bench, and obviously must have been your O-line coach that said, you guys just gave the world a big collective F you. And I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, our O-line coach I love playing for him. He's a really intense, just great competitor. Played in the league for 8 years, played for the 49ers, won a Super Bowl with them. You know, he's just been great, done a great job of just keeping everyone motivated. And you know, he did a great job of putting us into great situations this week.
Speaking of old linemen that have won Super Bowls, my transitions are crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. Ted Karras, your guys' center, he won two with the Patriots. One of them was that, like, I'm pretty sure he was on the 28-3 team against the Falcons. And then, obviously, that video of you, two-parter here. Obviously, that video of him in Tennessee, where you apologized to Rado about ruining their season? So that was our old, that was our NDSU O-line game. We're all staying at Rado's house that week. Like, it's Bengals at Titans. They didn't, they didn't win another game after that game. You realize that, right?
Cordell, let me save you. I'll save you in the PR department here. Quinn, you and I are the unluckiest humans alive. It was all on Rado for bringing us to Tennessee.
Yeah, it's true.
It's because we showed up and cheered for them.
Shouldn't have let us stay at his house.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Cordell's fault. There, I saved you, buddy.
Yeah, so you, okay.
You're the man.
You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer the Rado one, but just talk about that guy, that Karras. Is he just? Is he what he looks like on screen? Just like the craziest SOB to play next to, or what?
He is exactly that. He's so fun to play next to. He would be like, you think about like the old school O lineman, like when we got there, like the Jack Blankers, the Len Lecklers, the Jabba Zach Johnson's, like he would have ran with those guys. Like he would have fit right in with those guys.
He gives me War Daddy vibes.
Oh, he's a War Daddy through and through. Like,
love that.
And he's such a great football mind. Crazy story, I'll be quick with it, is so his dad, actually I had two stories about him. So his grandpa, also Ted Karras, his dad is also Ted Karras, and he is Ted Karras. All three of them have won a Super Bowl.
Wow. Fun fact. That's
nuts.
That's a trivia question we're going to write down then.
Fun fact. And then kind of tying back to NDSU ties, is Ted's dad has been a football coach, college football coach for his whole life. And he just took a job at Marion University, which is the NAIA in Indianapolis. And he hired Steve Tutsey, Tutsey's dad, to be his special teams coordinator and DBs coach.
What a small world.
Isn't that a small world?
And it's funny that you work. I don't know if anybody's had the pleasure of meeting Tut's dad. He is the ultimate football guy. When we played Butler in Minneapolis at Target Field, I walked into the lobby because me and Quinn were locked out of our room the night before the game. And it's about 11:30. I go downstairs and Steve's on the phone screaming at a player in the lobby, just ripping him a new one. I'm like, I love that.
He's the man.
He really is. To tie it back into NDSU here, right now you guys are in the midst of a deep playoff run, which obviously you have some acclimation with, things that you've been through before in your career. Is there any carryover from what you did at NDSU in these deep runs into January that you can use to prepare yourself for now?
I think there's a lot of things that you can use. Just the mindset of it all. It's win or go home. It's time where the cream rises to the top, and that if we don't perform our best, that we're going to go home. And that was something that we learned at NDSU, and every single week your preparation has to be, you have to be that much more locked in and that much more bad, because every single week you're playing better football teams. I think it's definitely helped just how to handle my business and in college, being able to play 15, 16 games every single year has helped prepare me. We're in week 20 right now, has helped me prepare for this long of a season and has helped keep me relatively fresh.
Yeah, and I think that was something that people commented on you a lot and looked at it as a knack or as a knock on you coming out of college, was that you were so old. You had so many snaps under your belt.
Play too many games.
Yeah, but I think that's something that people don't understand. You were relatively healthy, injury-free coming out of NDSU, and you went on 15, 16-week runs of playing football every week, and now here you are. You played every snap in every game this year. How does your body feel, and is that an NDSU thing? Is that just being at the next level where you have that much more care going into each day after every game, or is anything different that you carried over from NDSU, and I guess how are you feeling right now going to the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. Obviously getting to play that many games in college where, I mean, over half the teams in the country are home by Thanksgiving. You know, they play their 10 games and are done, where we're just kind of getting started. So that was huge for me, because then, you know, it gives you time to realize what your body's going to feel like in week 15, week 16, and how you got to handle that. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, being in the NFL, you have some more resources to use and definitely have taken advantage of that and get my weekly massages, go into the facility on off days, get active recovery, use the training room, whatever I can to feel good. You know, right now I feel relatively good.
As good as you can in week 20 of the season?
Yeah, as good as you can. Nothing's lingering or anything like that. But, you know, you're just sore. You know how it is. You kind of feel your shoulders like just get worn out as the season goes on and stuff. But other than that, nothing that's holding me back. Feel great and really excited for this weekend.
So you guys played the Chiefs earlier in the season, and two of their D tackles. I mean, I don't know who their second starter is. Saunders the second starter, or is he a roll guy?
I think he rotates in.
Yeah, he's like their third D tackle.
Sure. So
which
one,
is crazy to think about.
So one. Did you tell him after you pancaked him that first game, like, this is payback from 2018, bitch?
Like, no, I didn't tell him that, but I did.
This is
tell
for
him
Carson Shoney.
Oh, sorry, Carson.
Oh, Andy stepped on your brother's hand. I forgot about that. Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I told him though, when we lined up to try and get him to jump off sides, I told him, I said, you know, your boys from Western would have been jumping.
True. But obviously their star player, and probably, I mean, you can count Aaron Donald, but like, he wasn't healthy this year. So like, Chris Jones and Jeffrey Simmons and Dexter Lawrence, probably the best three of the best interior D linemen. What did you see in Chris Jones that first game, and what are you going to take into this game that kind of like proves to you why he is one of the best D-tacks in the game right now?
I think a lot of people don't understand how big he is.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's got to be damn near your size, isn't he?
Yeah.
Height-wise, at least?
Like, right, yeah. So that's always a difficult challenge you look at guys like Calais Campbell, you know, that are just long and can move and know how to pull themselves through, especially, you know, as they get older and learn more tricks of the trade. But, he's an extremely, extremely good defensive lineman in our league. Like you said, one of the best he plays with his length really well. He does a great job of getting you off of him, not allowing you to get a grip on him and be able to hold him at the line of scrimmage. He does a great job of getting your hands off him. He's so big that if, you know, he gets that step on you, that it's hard to recover. Where a little guy, if he gets a step, you can recover a bit just because you have more strength than them. But Chris Jones is not that way.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at his stats right now. He has 15 and a half sacks. So jeez. I can't even imagine what those numbers are as far as like pressures go too. So
15 and a half this year.
Yeah. 15
Good
and a half this
Lord.
Year. Yeah. 15 and a half this year. I think this was something that we talked about in our group chat. Obviously you have a guy there, that Jackson Carman, he played left tackle for Clemson for 3 years. I think he was either end of the first or early second round pick. I can't remember which one it was, but so he's a guy that came in with you, or no, he was in a year before you, but he came in with the Bengals and they just immediately put him at guard, I think. And now he has that game at left tackle where he performed really well. What do you think, or why do you think teams like in the scouting department, and I mean, you can be as delicate with this as you want. Why do you think they do move guys in? Cause obviously you're a guy who moved in, but I think you understood that part of the reason probably why you moved in was just because of your mentality and how like eat glass you are. But why do you think guys get pushed in so much? Is it speed, mentality, length? Is it just, you know, a combination of things?
Yeah, I think it's got a great combination of things, but I also think that, you know, there's however many college offensive linemen are, you know, play every single year. And, you know, most colleges, their most athletic players play tackle. You know, so you come in and like, okay, we can move tackles to guard, but you know, to think of moving guards to tackle is kind of, you know, nobody thinks about that. Just because like, look at Cody Mulk, left tackle, freaky athletic guy. And there's a reason he plays left tackle, you know? So I think that, you know, you see how athletic guys are on the edge and you think that, you know, that'll be able to transition and you know, some guys just don't feel as confident and as comfortable there. And you know, there's some guys like Jackson is a extremely, extremely athletic football player. And I think, him being able to play tackle allows him to use that athleticism. More to his advantage, and he showed that he can play tackle in this league the other day.
Yeah, if someone drafts Cody and puts him at guard, me and Zach are going to drive to their facility, whoever it may be, and we're insurrecting that building.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's such a fine line, and you know, we have talked about it personally. There's these guys on Twitter who have claimed that they're like the O-line Twitter kings, and we won't say names here to protect the sanctity of everybody, but. It's just like it's one of those positions that you almost have to do it to understand it. And, you know, there's guys who take the time to learn from guys who have played. I think Jeff Schwartz has been pretty instrumental in educating a lot of people in online play. But to try to paint every guy that comes out in the draft with this broad brush, if I see one more mock of Cody Mauch playing guard, I'm going to lose my mind. I even look at a guy like Rado. You turn on the tape when he was at NDSU and you're like, why would you ever think to move this guy inside? Now, it's probably just a utility thing. He's a third-round draft pick. We want to use him, or second round. We want to use him, so let's fit him wherever he can. But I hope Rado gets his shot, whatever happens with Taylor Lewan this year, to prove that he can play tackle. But, and this is where it's different, where you played a lot of your starting snaps at NDSU at tackle, and we're like, yeah, Cordell's going to be a guard in the league, and he's going to maul people, and he's just going to do what he does. I think it's a mentality thing, but it's just so weird, and I think guys' careers have fizzled out because of that. But I just – what – well, we already know what translated, I guess. Like, you're already big and mean, but what did you use to, like, put in from – is there anything you learned at playing tackle that helped your move to the inside in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things like, you know, if you got a guy that likes to rush your outside, you can get to the turn and run by, you know, make him run the hump that guard just like you can at tackle, you know. Yep. So I think that has been beneficial. You know, I think having to use references, having to use, you know, ways to use your athleticism, you know, to play against more twitchy guys, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Obviously in the NFL, the D tackles we're playing are more twitchy than the D ends we were playing, you know, but, just knowing that, you know, you're going to get a burst here, at the tackle position and then using that to, you know, translate at guard when you're playing against the guys like Ed Oliver or, you know, guys that are really twitchy, quick off the ball guys.
I think people don't understand how freaky every athlete on the D-line is in the NFL, and you have to be athletic across the board to do what you guys do. But going back to your guys' game ahead, you're headed to Arrowhead. Let's get into the preview a little bit. You obviously played Chris Jones already, and you got a lot of love on Twitter because – it kind of seemed like the Chiefs singled you out. We're going to pick on this rookie. Let's see what we can do on him. And they showed you everything with Chris Jones. They showed you the stand-up, inside, outside, everything, lining different people up over you. What is your game plan going ahead as far as what you think you'll see? And obviously I'm not asking you to divulge game plan secrets or anything, but what are you kind of expecting from this defensive line from Kansas City?
Yeah, what's the opener?
Yeah, yeah. First 10. List them off.
Today's our off day, fellas. No, obviously I'm expecting that they're gonna keep relatively similar game plan to what they had the first time we played them. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to mix in a few more twist games with Frank Clark and Chris Jones, just two really, really good players and, two of their best on the defensive line. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a little bit more movement this week. But, we've seen a lot of it the last two with Buffalo and Baltimore, two teams that move a lot up front. So that's definitely helped prepare me and prepare the rest of our line for this week.
Yeah, and I just want to flip to the other side of the ball for the second. Obviously, you're not in defensive meetings or anything, but when you look at the NFL, it's like everybody saw what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs do, and they're like, oh, shit, we need to do something to beat that. And you see Buffalo going and getting Von Miller in free agency, and that was going to be like the Mahomes killer, and it worked in the regular season. That guy goes down, and they have a tougher stretch in beating teams like you guys, obviously, and then having a mobile quarterback that they face. What does your defensive line do well that kind of don't want to put it as the way of being the Mahomes killer, but what do they do to kind of mitigate what makes him so special?
Our defense is our D coordinator is very, very good, does a great job of putting our guys into great situations. And then, I think one of the best things is we have some really good athletes throughout our whole defense. We have guys that can chase down Patrick Mahomes. We got guys that are, our linebackers are maybe a little bit smaller. They're not that 250-pound, Brian Urlacher type. They're guys that can run. Our defense does a great job. Our defensive ends do a great job of not only getting pressure, but also keeping contained of him. Sam Hubbard and Trey Anderson do a great job of that. And then it's a son of a gun to block DJ Reader there.
Going to ask. I think he's going to be one of these guys in the next years that we talk about in that top five conversation because he's a special, special player.
He is very, very good. He's so big. He's so strong. He is. I think he's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. He just needs to get a little more love.
Yeah, that kind of seems like a common theme out of Cincinnati, especially in the trenches. But, you guys don't play for the accolades and stuff like that. But know that the ones that pay attention know that you guys are doing something special there.
Yeah, it's been really fun to be a part of. It's really cool, because you hear people talk about, how the locker room is not going to be the same when you get to the NFL and stuff like that. And, it's not the same as college, but the locker room here in Cincinnati is very close. It's cool how there's zero ego. Everyone just cares about winning and about each other. And I think that's what makes being here special and what makes this team special.
So I know you have all the cliches lined up. You just want to go 1-0 this week, whatever. if you quickly for me, just after you guys win the Super Bowl, when you get to the offseason, do you have like coaches lined up already? Do you know where you're going to be like living and training and all that stuff? Because obviously that's going to be like a new world for you because after last year's NDSU season, everyone knows that, guys just go straight into training for the draft and then, or for the combine. And then after the combine, it's, draft meetings. And then after the draft, it's rookie OTAs. You get like a little bit of a break probably during that summertime as a rookie, but then you go in early for camp as rookies too. Like, this is the first time in your life where you kind of get to do whatever you want. And obviously a lot of that's going to be centered around training, but are you staying in Cincy? Or are you going to come throw cement around in Balfour or what's the deal?
Yeah. So I'm going to come home for a week or two, just relax, kind of unwind from the season. And then I'm
Ralph
going
to have you working.
Yeah, you know Ralph ain't letting you relax. Come on now.
Diet dues, buddy. You got to work for those.
yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And then I'm going to go to Maui.
Let's go.
It's we got a so the NFLPA puts on like a
like a
seminar thing. You know, it's all inclusive. The NFL covers it all. You got to go sit in classes for like 2 hours a day.
That's tough.
But yeah, looking forward to that.
Well, I know where I'll see you on July 4th.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then I'm going to go back to Minneapolis and train there with the guys that I train with during the combine prep and pre-draft stuff. Alex Boone's my O-line coach up there, and Bill Welly's my strength guy. So I'm really, really looking forward to having a great off season with those guys when that time comes.
What are you and like I said, we're getting ahead of ourselves, and I'm sure you hate it, but what do you think you're going to be training on the most? What's one thing you want to get better at during the off season? What's one thing?
The biggest thing is I want to increase my foot speed. You know, the biggest thing is always playing with a good base and good foot speed. You know, because at times a guy will get too wide or too narrow. But you watch Zach Martin, and one of the things that makes him so good is that he's always got a great base and his feet are always moving. So that's a big point of emphasis for me this offseason.
Sweet.
I hadn't even thought about this before, but obviously all offseason last year, you were basically training for the Underwear Olympics. And, you know, after a full year ahead, what are you looking forward to most to just get ready for the season instead of getting ready for combine prep?
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to a legit off season of training for football.
Yeah.
You know, like obviously you spend all that time getting ready for, like you said, the Underwear Olympics, and that's what it is. But, you know, like just to totally work on my craft, you know, every single day to be working with Boone and getting O-line work into, to be ready to just come back and compete again and just take the next step.
So I know you grew, you have a nice big, you know, beard growing right now, playoff beard. You have a normal haircut. I know you don't want to stand out as a rookie. Are we going to see you in like a handlebar mustache and a mullet for the first game of 2023?
No.
By the way,
come on, let's do it.
That is the best beard I've ever seen on you.
The
facial hair situation was not good in Fargo.
No, it wasn't good at all, but it's coming around.
Yeah.
It's coming around, isn't it?
You look like a lumberjack out there in the snow. I guess I only have a few more questions, nothing as serious, but obviously nothing is serious, and the question I'm about to ask. Obviously, with the fallout of the DeMar Hamlin situation as far as who gets to play where and when and why, and we had that discussion that, you know, nobody really knew the answer. You kind of got the feeling from Joe and his post-game interviews and stuff like this that you guys had a chip on your shoulder, kind of took that into consideration when you went into Buffalo. Were you guys thinking about that at all? Like, was it a chip on your shoulder that you guys placed? Was it looking for external motivation, or was it something that, you know, kind of lit that fire underneath, guys?
Yeah, I don't think it was, you know, an external motivator that we needed. But, you know, it was definitely something that did, you know, light some of that fire. And Coach Taylor said it best, you know, Saturday night before the game. He's like, this team is meant to go on the road. This team is meant to be where we're at right now. You know, there's no better feeling than winning playoff games on the road. And that's what this team is built for. It was just great. And it was crazy because, you know, the last few weeks we've been home, but at the beginning of the year, it felt like we were on the road every single week. And, And we always joke that we're just going to be road dogs. And, you know, that's what we got to do. So, yeah, it's fun. You know me, it's fun. I love going into hostile environments and everybody booing you and cussing you out. And I love that shit.
Well, you got a big one coming this weekend. Just in that vein, I guess. I think we discussed stadiums last time you were here. What was loud? What was whatever? But I want to just give me a best and a worst visiting locker room that you've been in this year.
Worst is probably Baltimore.
Okay.
Just small. It would probably be the best one we had in college, to be honest with you. And I think if once I say it, you guys would be like, no shit to what the best one was. The best one was Dallas.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If that does, you know, that does kind of seem like something Jerry would want, like to flex his ego, like even though it's the away locker rooms, well, he still wants.
He honestly probably does it because like, he's like, oh, I want guys on their team to see how good the visiting locker room is. Like, just here. Imagine what the home locker room is. Right. what was I going to ask? I just forgot.
I'll just jump in here for you. You guys, it seems like you're having fun, which is kind of outside of the norm of what you see from football teams. Obviously, we saw Coach Taylor out and about handing out game balls, and you got to do that last week this past week when you guys got home from the win in Buffalo. Where did you go, and what bar in Cincy did you go to, and what was that experience like getting to go behind the bar and show some love to the fans?
Yeah, so we went to an establishment called the Oak Tavern.
Sounds like my kind of place.
It is your hole in the wall, nice dive. It reminds me of sitting in Drake, North Dakota. yeah, it's great. We got there. Ted and I come walking up, and everyone's got the Hootay chant going. And then we're walking in and just, you know, this trying to weasel our way into the behind the bar because it was just packed and everyone's giving us high fives and patting us on the back and stuff. And Ted gets up there and gives his speech and the whole place goes nuts and they all start singing. And it was really cool. It was really cool. It was, I think that's one of the coolest traditions that you know, is probably in the NFL. And Coach Taylor started that last year. And you know, it definitely brings this city together and everyone rallies behind it and rallies behind our team. So we just love the support here.
Yeah. One more before I get into my last thought. What is the scene on a flight home like that? Like, obviously you're on the road. You guys fly in nice planes, obviously. But you go to Buffalo, hostile environment, AFC divisional game, you know, win or die kind of thing. And you guys pull out the W in Buffalo. What's the scene? Are you guys having a good time hooping and hollering on the way home, or is everybody kind of chilling out?
You know, it's not like a total hoop and holler like party, but it's not everyone's quiet either. Like, there's a bunch of guys that are playing cards. Sure. You know, I always go up to the – so I sit in an exit row in Comfort Plus. Don't have the first class. So I go up to first class and hang out with Karis and Kappa and we watch the game and just, you know, talk about the game and what happened and then we just kind of bullshit the rest of the flight and Joe Mix and Joe Burrow are right there too and we're just chatting it up and it's fun. It's good camaraderie and I love Joe Mix. He's so funny.
Buying you guys cupcakes really on the way fun. Out there.
Dude, every single away game, he gets us those bunk cakes. That it's awesome. Rocks.
Hey, so I think I know the answer to this. Growing up, you didn't pay that much attention to the NFL, right?
No, I mean, it wasn't like something that I, you know, like I would watch games and stuff, but it wasn't like... I wasn't, this player's going to this team or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So, like, obviously me and Zach did, and, like, Blazek basically used us as, like, Google during meetings. So, and this is not me shitting on the Bengals. I love the Bengals. But growing up, the Brown family, you know, the owners of the Bengals, they kind of notoriously, like, they never went, like, super far out of their way. You know, like, they never wanted to. They had Ocho and Carson Palmer back in the day, but they weren't really, like, they didn't try to make a splash in free agency. And there are a lot of teams that kind of do that. But before last season, they hadn't been to a conference championship game in 33 years. The Bengals had never won a road playoff game. You know, you guys are you in the indoor facility now?
Yes.
So they didn't have an indoor facility before, like, this last offseason. Like, what do you think has changed, and why is it because Joe Burrow is the coolest person of all time?
Yeah. That was going to be my last point. Is Joe Burrow cool as shit?
Yeah.
Joe is very cool. Great swagger, but he's not like, you know how some of these guys are like too cool for school, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not him at all. Like, he's totally like, it's all genuine with him. Like, it's not like he's trying to put on a show or anything. Like, he's just literally being himself. And I think that's what makes it so cool.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to get into, because you can go in two directions where you're so cool it's arrogant, or you're not cool and you're acting cool and you're like a poser. He seems like he falls in the middle of that and like really lives the like Joe Scheisty life, but he's also just Joe to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's totally like, he's literally just one of the guys. We were sitting in front of our lockers today. And Joe just comes up and sits down with us and goes, "What's up, guys?" Hey Joe, how's it going? He's like, "Football is so much fun when we're winning, isn't it?"
Sounds like a conversation we had with like Stick or Trey, which obviously
exactly
a common theme with those guys. But I think what is really special about Joe, you almost get that Brady vibe from him, where it's not arrogance, but it's just supreme confidence that he's going to take care of business and do what he does. Can you speak to what it was like? I mean, he took a lot of shots earlier this year and last year especially. That's why they brought you on board. And, you know, he's staying cleaner these last few weeks. But, I mean, what does it feel like knowing that you're not blocking for some diva or something like that back there? It's a hard-nosed, just one of the dudes.
Yeah, you know, I think that makes you, you know, scratch and claw as hard as you can, because, you know, like, you know that the guy behind you believes in you. And if you give him time, he's going to make every play. You know, it's one of the coolest things. Like, if we'll give up a sack or something, like, no, I got to get the ball out sooner. Or, you know, like, I asked him at halftime, I was like, "How the Pucks been? Like, we good?" And he's like, "Dude, they've been freaking great. Like, no one's even close." You know, like, he's just very good. And like, after games, he'll come up and be like, "You guys are great. Like, no one touched me all day." You know, like, he's just really good, and he really cares about us, and you know, just is humble and puts it on himself. You know, when there is a mistake that maybe isn't even his fault or has nothing to do with it being his fault, but he takes the blame, and you know, he's not pointing fingers at all.
Maybe a certain quarterback from BYU in New York could take some advice from Joe Scheisty. You know, that's gotta mean a lot.
What a ricochet shot.
Like you said, just like having a guy back there that even when it's not his fault, you know, he'll eat the shit sandwich, as not fun as that is. But what's really spectacular, and it seems like you guys, the Bengals organization, really has it figured out in the fact that the adjustments are being made to compensate, obviously, for some depth issues that are popping up from people getting hurt. It's a long season. It's the NFL. People get hurt on the O-line. A lot of quick game and stuff like this. You're keeping what's the backup running back's last name? Or name, I keep forgetting.
P. Ryan,
yes.
Samaje Perine.
He is an absolute monster in the pass game. You know, Joe serves his purpose as far as catching the ball. I think P. Ryan will stick his nose up there, likes to do the blocking.
Those are two guys that just run through people, too.
Yeah.
They're not like – like, I'm sure you just love blocking for a guy like that, because after a play, they're not going to, like, chew your ass if you, like, didn't hit a block good enough and, he got hit a little bit. Like, those two guys love running through face.
Yeah.
Yes, it's great.
It's been
– It's great. Like, Go ahead, Zach. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say it's been cool to see how, one, the coaches make the adjustments to put the O-line in the best position possible. You guys are playing your asses off for Joe, and then he's so good that, you know, even where I think the stat for Buffalo was he had from snap to throw was 2.5 seconds, which was the fastest in the league by far, and he's still just an elite quarterback. It seems like you guys are really humming right now. Talk about those two. You know, obviously Joe went down earlier this season for a bit, and Samaje just kind of stepped up and started smashing face again.
Yeah, they're both great. Both, you know, run extremely hard. And I think one of the things that neither of them get enough credit for is they're both great in pass protection. They, you know, if they bring six, we can only block five with our guys. So they have to swell up and take someone, and they do a phenomenal job of that. And then getting out and it's crazy how they can take just a little dump off pass and turn it into 10, 15 yards and keep us on track. And that's such a valuable thing that they do. And that often I think goes overlooked.
Yeah, those two are absolute dogs, along with the rest of the Bengals. Can't wait to see you guys shit all over Chiefs Kingdom. It's Sunday, right? You guys play on Sunday?
Yeah, Sundays.
Before we leave, we appreciate your time. I think the last Stardom Center we did was one of our best. It was the NDSU Dining Lunches, Dining Center Meals. This time, we just brought you on. I really thought of it because of just seeing you in the bar on Saturday night or Sunday night, whenever it was.
And because we're alcoholics.
Yeah. Speak for yourself. Stardom Sit'em with Cordell Volson, alcoholic drinks. This goes mixies, shots, beers.
Anything.
Anything to that matter. You got your list, Cordell?
I got my list. I might have went a little different direction on some of mine. I love that. Tell me if I'm out of line.
No, that's fine. These are very subjective.
Yeah.
You can look at the list however you want. I kind of looked at it. My sit-em list is just things I won't touch.
Yeah.
My stardom list, some of it has like a this time of day or at this time of year to it.
When you have you have like a best beer or best alcohol scenario, there is context into that situation.
Yep.
I kept it out, but I will give where these contexts fit and what makes me love these drinks. So let's go. Cordell, you can go first. We'll go Quinn, and I'll go last. Start with your stardom.
All right. Start my number five stardom.
Yep.
I have apple pie moonshine.
Oh, that's so good.
I have apple pie, too.
Oh, that's so good. I didn't even think about it.
So, yeah, give your reasoning, Cordell. What's your affinity for apple pie come from?
I think, you know, every single great wedding, for some reason, there's somebody walking around with a jug of apple pie moonshine.
Yep.
And it's just passing it out to everyone. And it just kind of is like the party starter. Like once everyone gets a couple of those in, you know, the party's rolling.
Yeah. And we can get into, obviously, later when we get higher up in the stardom. But there's something about apple pie because it tastes good when it's made well. And there is a lot of liquor in apple pie. I know I didn't go to Tanner's wedding, but there are some stills from that night that made me believe that apple pie got around.
I think, if I remember right, there were 78 bottles.
Jesus.
What are you guys doing?
Having a wedding.
Okay, so
Glenn.
That was your number five?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the same reasoning?
Well, I was going to say apple pie we're obviously in the frozen tundra up here. Apple pie is the best when it's cold outside drink because it tastes good and it warms you up. Like, I think about tailgating, Cordell, you'll get like the full tailgating experience, obviously, once you are done with your little profession that you're chasing right now. But the other one is ice fishing or deer hunting. Like, it's good vibes. It's guys being dudes passing around a mason jar.
Yeah, I wish I had apple pie as my number five. My number five is kind of lame. This is in context. So obviously, your first few years in college, you're just drinking any beer you get. And everyone knows that I'm not a beer guy. But ever since, the first time I ever had a Coors Banquet.
Oh, yeah.
Just those little tan bottles. So now it's basically
the little bottles.
Yeah, the stubbies.
So basically, anytime, it's usually right after usually going into the spring or right at the end of spring, kind of going into summer, I always had a Coors banquet after the spring game. So like kind of going into that summertime, the first time I get my hands on a nice Coors banquet.
Well, I know there are many reasons that our friend Cordell Volson watches Yellowstone, one that we talk about a lot in our group chat, but I won't get into that. But, you know, I think they've really brought back the popularity of the Yellow Jacket. Tyson was an early adopter on that. He's been drinking Coors Banquet forever, but it's a great beer. It's like that mix of Budweiser that makes you feel like you ate a steak, but also not like you're drinking water. It's a good in between.
Great beer. And that's coming from someone that really doesn't like beer. Like, I'm not a beer guy.
Yeah.
But I will drink a Coors Banquet every single time.
Yeah.
All right, Cordell, what's your number four?
So my number four is your first ever drink. You know, when you first turn 21?
First turn 21, baby. Yeah. Yep. I know exactly what you mean. When you wait 21 years to get that first alcoholic beverage.
Yep.
That's right. And you have that, you know, maybe you go into the local establishment for your first time ever.
Yeah.
And you have that first beer with, you know, with your old man or something, maybe.
Yeah, like, for sure.
It's just one you never forget.
No, you're absolutely right.
I remember the first time when I was 21 back in 2014, when I was hiding in my friend's basement after we turned 21 in 2014, and we dumped that raspberry Kharkov straight into the Mountain Dew bottle.
Oh, dude.
Just a raspberry Kharkov Mountain Dew, baby.
So
first drink when I was 21.
I have unlimited drinking stories. I'll just say pre-21. And I will absolve names and everything that cannot see the light of day on this podcast. But if we did like a Patreon exclusive or release it somewhere that we wouldn't get canceled for, I could go on and on. But I think my favorite has to do with my good buddy, all of our buddies, Nash Jensen, who's down in LA right now getting ready for the NFL PA Bowl. But he, his drink of choice, because when you're a freshman or however old, when you're 21 and you don't know what to drink yet, you just go with what you think you're supposed to.
Ooh.
Nash drank room temp blue Gatorade and Captain Morgan mixed in a bottle. And then I was a room temp Jack Daniels, room temp Dr. Pepper, 50-50 in a cup guy.
I mean, Howie was just a room temp Ron Diaz.
Oh, it's horrible.
And nothing else. I mean, it was literally just room temp plastic bottle Ron Diaz.
You were either a Ron...
Him and Zach Coons.
Holy...
Yeah. You were either a Ron Diaz guy or you weren't. And those are two different kinds of people.
Yeah, I was not.
The other one, Nash obviously was not involved. We were all chasing scholarships in high school. We weren't all small town degenerates like you guys drinking before that age.
I wasn't even a drinker, but I loved smoking a pack of cigs.
You're a sicko. But I think maybe the first four or five times that we all got together as freshmen, by the way, some of the best times in the world. Like all get together as freshmen, like an upperclassman's house, and you're like cornered in the bottom of the basement, and it's just you guys hanging out. He looked me dead in my face and asked me what to mix with beer.
Oh, man. More beer.
Yeah.
That's all time.
I was like, unless you're trying to hit Control-Alt-Delete on your brain, you don't mix anything with beer.
No, there is one. What is something in a Corona. What is that?
Well, yeah, you can add tequila to Corona, and then there's Boilermakers where you drop a shot of whiskey and all that stuff. Right. But
in general,
you do not mix it with Diet Coke.
Yeah, right. Okay, so my number four, also pretty specific timing. It's that first day of vacation. You either got there right in the morning, or you stayed overnight somewhere, and you're going out to eat to start vacation. And you get that first Bloody Mary.
Yeah,
I could say Bloody Marys in general, obviously, because Bloody Marys are great. But when you have like a 4 or 5 day vacation and you just start it all off with a nice spicy Bloody, there's not much better.
You're absolutely right. I think there's a time and a place for a Bloody, and when you time it out right, there's nothing better.
If you ask Jackson Brown, the time and place is anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, JB's my foremost authority on Bloody Marys that I go to.
Yep.
That one was on my list, and then I found a couple new ones and it got replaced. That's a great pick, Quinn.
Yeah, you. It's just, it's not going to, A good one blows your socks off, but otherwise it's just batting right down the middle of the plate. Yeah. You know what you're getting, and it hits a home run.
It's a 300 hitter,
yep.
30 home runs, 100 RBIs.
Yep. This one it was my only one like related to timing, but a post-victory Shannon shot at Reuters. I don't even know what those things are called. But
I never got
like,
one. What is that?
It's like a smoothie that she made.
Gosh, what are they called? Dead Kennedy.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's just you grind it all week. You got to win over Western. I probably actually played because it was Western. And you walk into Reuters, and Shannon just starts lining them up. There's nothing better.
That sounds awesome.
They're great.
Cordell, go ahead, buddy. Next rotation.
Number three.
So number three is just a hard hitter. Some call it the nectar of the gods.
Don't say what you're going to say.
Some refer to it as Bush Latte.
Oh, my God.
Just even a Bush Latte.
Oh, you are sick.
You know, I'm skipping ahead in the order, but I also had beer, which was like obviously. Okay, sure. But so I'll just look ahead. You guys, I like to dabble in like the craft stuff and kind of, you know, see what else is out there and, you know, try an IPA or try a stout, whatever, here and there. But, buddy, when I reach in my cooler and it's 95 degrees outside and I'm on a boat and I pull out a Miller Lite, I am ready to roll.
What?
Nothing better than an ice cold beer. And when you're up here, it's kind of your dealer's choice. It's usually Coors Light or Busch Light. I don't roll with either of those two. I actually went through phases with both of them and grew out of it. And now, like, if you go into Minnesota, Wisconsin, you see the Miller Lite more prominent. But, like, good call. Just an ice-cold beer out of the can.
So that's your guys' number three? Okay.
Wait. Cordell, in the meantime of this, what's your favorite vessel to drink beer out of? Are you a draft guy? Are you a bottle guy? Are you a can guy?
If it's Busch Light, it's out of a can. Sure. If it's any other beer, it's out of a bottle.
Sure. I agree with you. The drafts are so hit or miss. Like when you go to a bar, you don't know if they clean their lines or if they pour the beer bad, it's going to be all flat. But there's nothing better than just crushing 47 cans of beer. Like you just start like mushing them into your head and stuff like that. Or if you're
You're Cody Malk, you just crush 40 cans of Old Mill.
Yeah. And but if you're on the Pelican Sandbar with Garrett Malmstrom and Jack Albrecht, you start throwing cans into a guy's boat and then almost get fought on the sandbar.
Yeah, that's all fine. Okay, so my number three, something I'll probably never experience again, or I won't as a player. It is a Chubb's Day Stump Lifter, baby.
That's my number two.
I mean, there is, when I was going through and I was looking online and I saw this red mixie and I was like, oh my God. Yep. Like that Chubb's Day Stump Lifter on like the 14th one.
Yep.
And you still just keep downing them. I mean, as far as feels go, that my time and place list. Probably number one on just the time and place. Yeah. Like if there's a just time and place alcohol, not just overall like we're trying to do. Those Chubb's Day Stump Lifters were just all-timers.
That's in the same ballpark of the Dead Kennedy at Reuters.
I got you.
Same like something that tastes good but signifies that you just did something good to earn it.
Sure. So, Cordell, that's now your number two?
That's my number two, yeah. Love like it. You said, there's a time and a place for everything. And on Chubb's Day, it's the time and the place to drink 14 of those things.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
No reading books that night. I'll just go ahead with one of mine because I'm going last there. Okay. Yeah. Quinn, you and I are in the same boat on this. A shot at tequila.
Buddy, that was my number two.
If we're getting the party started.
I actually just put tequila dry.
Sure.
I went through quite a phase. I wouldn't necessarily say I was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
But during COVID, when we were just in the apartment.
We were all alcoholics.
When we were just in the apartments, that's when The Rock came out with Terramana.
Yeah.
And I had never had tequila before. So I literally had never had tequila before 2020. And I just poured one out in a whiskey glass. And I just did it. So now I just drink tequila like she doesn't listen to this, but my buddy Levi, his wife Tess, we're at his house celebrating his college graduation, and she walked by my red solo cup, and it was just three quarters filled with a bottle of tequila.
That's insane.
Yeah, but tequila is just
You're an animal.
No, but everyone knows tequila is just my thing. Yeah. I never had a bad night on tequila, yeah. So I will drink it anytime.
That's in the same vein of, like, I'm not as intense with you or as you with that, but, like, if it's guys and we're at the bar and it's just the boys chilling and yeah. I want to get the party started, when people go, like, directions of other alcohols that we might talk about later in the sit-em, pour up tequila every time.
Yes. All right. Those are our number twos. Cordell, number one, buddy. What do you got?
My number one is, if you know, you know. It is shooters on a plane, typically in January.
We towed that line a few weeks ago, trying to tell the story of Sun Country hitting the brakes on us before we took off. But
Cordell, I would agree with you only if your plane is on schedule and rolling, because when you're around 50 guys who just want to be back in Fargo and you run through the shooters so quickly that you're hungover on the back of the plane, is not a good time.
I'm with you 100%.
That's a great one. All right.
Mixing it in the lemon lime Gatorade and shit.
Yeah, I feel like me and Zach have the same number one. We might not. Okay, so we don't.
I saved it for you.
Sure. Thank you. This is my drink, if you know me, and it could have tequila in it. It could not. Tequila just makes
it. I prefer it does.
Yeah, tequila just makes it more fun. It is the quickest way to get drunk besides having shots.
Most economical way, you'd say.
Yeah, you just pour all of it, all the liquor you have, just pour it into one.
Yep.
You could say it is the hodgepodge of alcoholic drinks, the goulash of alcohol drinks. It's the Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
It gets you drunk every time. It works every time. Because let's be honest.
100% efficacy rate.
Yeah, it's never lost. It's 100% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
Yep.
When you drink liquor, you are trying to get drunk.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, sometimes you just have, like, but like beer is kind of like, hey, I just want to have a beer.
Yeah.
When you want to get drunk, you order two Long Islands every 15 minutes until the job is done, and it works 100% of the
until
time.
Until your buddy Zach is stuffing you in an Uber on Halloween night.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two Long Island stories. One of them does relate to Quinn. The championship that we played against Montana State, so 2021-2022 season, we are all at Scruffy Duffy's, a very fine establishment if you haven't been. And Quinn's wonderful mother-in-law, Denise, just kept ordering these Texas Long Islands. So, Cordell, I don't know if you're familiar, but Texas Long Island.
I am not.
A Long Island with a shot of tequila in it.
So it is tequila.
Vodka.
What?
What?
Triple sec.
What?
Rum.
What?
It's literally five or six liquors, and then there is a half ounce left at the top, and they just put a splash of Coke in it for color.
Yeah.
Buddy, I remember sitting next to Gindy after the 2019 Natty, and we just put down like 10 of them at Herd's probably in like 45 minutes.
Yeah, the story.
They're also the easiest to just chug through a straw. You get a straw, like a big straw in there, and you can suck that thing down in two or three minutes.
Or
30 seconds.
The story at Scruffy Duffy goes, I turn around to accept my next Long Island from Denise, and Kendra is whisking Quinn away like the Secret Service in this Uber to go home because we had been overserved. But such is life. The other one was after we played Central Arkansas, met Garrett Malmstrom, one of my best friends over at Herd and Horns. He had been drinking screwdrivers and Bloody Marys all day. If you know Garrett, he goes hard in the paint when he's drinking. We get to sports bar after some food at Herd and Horns, and he walks in and looks at the bartender in his face, and he says, let me get a pitcher of Tito's. And bartender says, no can do. And he said, how about a pitcher of Long Island? And he said, I can do that. And I watched Garrett walk around with half a gallon of Long Island iced tea, and he drank the whole thing before we had to stuff him in a Uber and take him home. Great pick. I love a Long Island. I saved it just for you, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My last one, you guys may not be familiar. It is a tequila cocktail, though. I love a good ranch water. It is tequila, specifically Topo Chico. for the seltzer water, and then a fresh squeezed lime. That is like the best summer drink of all time. You don't taste the tequila, you get bubbles, you get a nice little lime. I love me a ranch water. But that, again,
I've never had one, but I've wanted to try one for a long time, and now you're just gonna, it might be my first drink this offseason.
You're talking about the canned stuff, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
When the bartender, the cut waters are good.
Hey, the cut water, those things are
a problem.
Those things are a little 13.5%.
Those might go the way of Four Loko here very soon, because they're 14% in a can. Because
I had four of them at the first tailgate this year.
Yeah, you sure did.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. No. Well, Cordell, if you ever find your way up to Fargo and we, you know, belly up at a nice establishment, I'll get you a ranch water. It's very much predicated, like we said, on the context. If it's 95 degrees outside and I'm sitting at a golf course or something, give me a ranch water 10 out of 10 times. And all right, so before we get into our sit-em, I just want to give you your chance because you're the big, bad, tough guy, Mr. Football player. Cordell.
Where are you going with this?
I want you, and just to, with your toxic masculinity, I want you to go out and say that there are some good seltzers when you're sitting on a boat.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Okay. I wanted to know the stance on seltzers because a lot of dudes, just because it's a seltzer and, you know, maybe their girlfriend or wife likes to drink them. Buddy, if it's time and place and I have a High Noon in my hand, there's nothing better.
Yeah, the High Noons are different story because they're the, what are they?
It's vodka and juice.
Oh. High Noons, incredible.
And I'm not going to lie.
Me and Zeb, sorry, Cordell, I got it. Me and Zeb Nolan. It was pretty much the first time we'd ever interacted. We were all at Cole Jacob and Ross Kenley and Wake and Bo's house. And Zeb walked in with two cases of Truly Lemonades on like a Thursday night before a game.
Those are vile.
And everyone else was going to play on Saturday. And he said, who's going to drink these with me? And I had not really talked to him before, but we'd kind of hung out, and I said, I'll do it. And we just sat on the floor, watched a Thursday night football game, and each drank 12 Truly Lemonades. And I woke up the next morning, and my teeth were just in absolute shambles. I mean, it was insane. But no, mine and Zeb's relationship is pretty much built on Truly Lemonades.
And cigarettes.
And, well, cigs and Peach Crown.
Peach Crown.
Peach Crown, when he brought that to my wedding.
Oh, that's a big miss. A Peach Crown and Sprite.
Yeah,
oh,
Peach Crown.
That's a good miss.
Peach Crown into sweet tea.
Who doesn't have a Peach Crown story?
Yeah. Oh,
it's true.
That's basically what my wedding was, because he also brought one Peach Crown for him and one Peach Crown for me. So
nice of him.
Yeah.
Cordell, what's your official stance on seltzers? How are we feeling about them?
I think they're great. I think, you know, you're out on the lake. It's a great call. You know, this might be a hot take. Have you ever had the Natty Light seltzers, like the Natty Light mango one or whatever?
They're kind of in the same vein of the Truly Lemonades, where it's a little more flavor, less of that like bubbly seltzer water.
Yeah, I love those. Those are probably my seltzer of choice.
Look at this guy.
There's nothing wrong with the
opening himself up for sponsorship deals. Yeah. Natty Light, hit our guy Cordell up.
No, Miller Light. I mean, you wore the Bengals Miller Light sweater. I mean, are we getting? Look. You just started. Like, this is going to be your 20th start. You might start 21 games. Like, can we open up the sponsorship a little this offseason and get a Miller Light deal?
I'd love one. That's actually what I've been drinking a little bit is the Miller Lights. It's what they like.
Love it.
It's what they like here. It's what my guy Ted drinks. So
of course.
Yeah. So is that obviously it's a regional thing. I think Busch Light's huge up here. But you know, they always say that the only thing better than your favorite beer is free beer. The only thing better than free beer is a beer company paying you. So if you're gonna drink Miller Lite, they send you a paycheck in the mail. I'll drink whatever they tell me to.
Absolutely.
Me too.
I don't know if you guys had honorable mentions. We don't have to go into them that much. I just had three quickly. This is actually when I first turned 21, like in 2018.
Like on the calendar.
Yes. Whiskey Sours. First year going to the bars. Crown Apple Whiskey Sours at like Cowboy Jack's after games.
It's a good call.
It was like one of my, it was pretty much the only thing I drank.
Heartburn City.
Yeah. Vodka Red Bulls, if you just want to get the party started, as quickly and violently as possible.
Yeah. That is 1 degree of separation away from cocaine.
Yes. And then this summer, it's actually the only time I've ever had it. Cole Jacobs Cabin with his dad, Rob, a glass of red wine while eating a steak. Sure. It was the only time in my life I've ever done it.
It's very hit or miss.
It was incredible. Yeah. And I was drinking Rob Jacobs red wine. Right. So yeah. It's not going to be the red wine I buy for myself. Right. So
that's in like Cordell's tax bracket. Guys who can afford that kind of thing.
Cordell, have you had red wine? Cordell, have you had red wine?
I have. Oh. I have. And I'm with Zach on it, though. It's very hit or miss. Sure. Some is very good, and some is, can you send this back, please?
Yeah. That's the scary part, is you don't know until you try it. So if you're ordering an $80 glass of wine, you're just stuck with that bill if it stinks.
Yeah. All right, Cordell.
Exactly.
Sit'em list. What do you got, number five?
So my number five is pretty generic, but it's anything warm that's supposed to be cold. You know, if it's a warm beer.
That's a great.
Interesting.
That's a great answer.
That is good. What specifically, what do you have in mind? Like, what's the first one you think of?
First thing I think of is any type of warm beer.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of gut down a warm seltzer or two, but like a warm beer, it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. My number five, champagne. I don't know if I've just never had a good one, but like,
that's a terrible take.
Champagne. Yeah. Okay. So I just drink I'm thinking of the shitty champagne that you use for mimosas, but then there's no more orange juice left and you don't want to just throw out a bottle of champagne.
Champagne. Okay. So like, this is very like in the weeds, but like champagne is very expensive to be actual champagne. It comes from France. So what you drink with your mimosa is called Prosecco most of the time. Oh. And it's just like bubbly, dry wine. But I love mimosas too much to let you slander even Prosecco.
No, because it's not a mimosa. There's no orange juice in it.
This is a bad take.
All right, go to number five. You have a bad haircut.
That's fine. So
he does, doesn't he?
Shrek on the other end of the line is getting in my face. Yeah, okay.
You're supposed to be the stylish one. Like,
no, here. Don't put that on me. Cordell, sorry you're not familiar, but I'm blue collar. I wear blue jeans and Wrangler t-shirts.
He's wearing Under Armour sweats right now. Cordell, before Zach goes, in honor of Cordell episode part two, I am wearing 2018 black Nike Roshes.
Undefeated shoe.
Yep. Just for you,
buddy.
Let's
go. That shoe, thank you. I appreciate that. That is, I'm going to sleep well tonight.
You're welcome.
My number five sit-em, kind of in the same line of Cordell, but when you know, like, you're taking your time and savoring a beer, that last sip of beer that was foam when you cracked it, I'll throw it away rather than take that last sip.
That is tough.
Go ahead, Cordell, number four.
Number four, just because of what it does to me the next day, is any type of like fruity drink. So I'm thinking like Twisted Tea, Mike's Hard Lemonades, anything like that. Like, dude, I'm going to have a raging headache and my stomach is going to be gurgling for the next 3 days.
Long Island's will do it to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Long Island's probably number one on like worst hangover if you overdo it. Cause I have a window and it's like eight. If I have like eight of them, I'll be super drunk and a little bit hungover.
Do you know how much booze that is?
Yeah. But like, if I get to number nine, I'm dead. Like, it's,
I think of hangovers as a job well done. That's I just reframe mission how I think accomplished. About it. Yeah.
My number four is Fireball. Absolutely trash.
I'll take that as my number four too.
Thank you.
Thankfully, we grew up in this generation because, like, my dad's generation, their Fireball was Yag, and I don't know if I could walk around and take pulls of Yag like people pass around Fireball. So that's my number four too. Fireball is horrible, and this is a time and place thing too. I don't like how it tastes, but you cannot turn it down when it's being passed around.
That's 100% true.
That's true. That's 100% you have to do
true. Give us number three.
I was going to have Fireball, but then I thought, majority of the shooters on that damn plane are Fireball.
Yeah.
And like Lemon Bacardi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just some random ass.
By the way, that goes into your number five situm because a warm, like, grape Bacardi shooter that's like next to the radiator on the bus in somebody's backpack does not taste good.
yeah, that is true. That is true. So my number three, yep, is the first drink on the second day of a bender. So like you wake up, you're hungover.
That's basically a bloody.
You don't want to do it, but you know you got to rally for the boys, and you got to force that first one down.
It's a necessary evil because you know you'll feel better on the back end of it.
But it's tough when you try to swallow it.
Oh, your body physically rejects
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's tough. That's it. That's a great one because that hurts. I might get killed for this, and I'll take it because I am a liquor guy and I am a mixed drink guy. I can't do old fashions.
Sure.
I can't. I don't know if it's it might be the bitters, honestly. Because like I can like do whiskey kind of like not Tennessee honey number seven, but
Shout out Brad Ambrosius.
Yeah. That's if you know, you know. But I just don't know what it is. I've tried old fashions at like fancy restaurants that are supposed to be good. And it might be the bitters now that I really think about it, but I just can't do it. I'll take one drink and I don't want to touch it again.
Yeah. It's hard. It's a acquired taste, but it's like very, it's a complex drink and that's why people like it. Cause you get the burn from the whiskey.
Sure.
You get that, obviously the bitter, you get the sugar. You don't know how to think unless you do like the flavor profile from an old fashioned. So not necessarily a bad take. I like old fashions, but I won't kill you for
Kenley's it. Kenley's going to kill me for it, but that makes me feel better about it.
Yeah, that's how you know you're right.
Yeah, I don't mind them. They're not bad, but I can see where you're coming from.
A lot of it is choice of bourbon, too. You have to like what's going in the glass, you know.
Got it.
I'm not sure what to, I'll just go with red wine. It's on my balling on a budget. I'm not buying anything that I like to drink a whole bottle of.
That's true.
So that's just where I stand on it.
That is true. That's a good point. It's got to be a really good bottle for it to be worth it.
All right, number two.
Number two, Willis is going to shit on me for this one.
Let's go.
IPAs. IPAs. I can't do it.
I originally had written down 75% of IPAs.
I would say there's a few good ones.
There are some good ones.
But the majority of them,
tough.
Yeah, no, I
just don't want to drink a beer that makes me thirsty.
That's a very good point.
Put it, and we need a sign that says that. I need to get that tattooed on my body.
You know those like make it a quote tweets? It's going to be that picture that the thirst trap that Cordell posted from the Bills game.
Yeah.
It's going to say, I don't want to drink a beer that makes me thirsty.
Those things that every mom in the 2000s, the things that you had plastered on your walls. Love,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to drink a beer that makes me thirsty.
No, I won't jump down your throat about it. I do like the occasional IPA, but like I'm not as crazy about him as like a guy like my dad is. He'll dive into like the double IPAs and like these 13% IPAs. It's one of those things too. It's just an acquired taste. You kind of have to like that bitter flavor to like those.
My number two, you mentioned it earlier. Thank God we missed that generation. It's Yag Bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that was like a drink of a generation.
Yeah.
It is black unreal. That's probably like my main reason is because I won't touch black licorice.
I like black licorice. Yeah,
I know you do. It's sickening, but I really can't believe that was part of a generation.
Yeah, and like
explains a lot.
That literally was their Fireball.
Yeah,
like they had the machines that we have for Fireball now to make it ice cold. Theirs was Yag.
Yeah. Thank God I missed that.
Cordell, correct me if
they
I'm wrong.
They had one of those in Chubbs.
Yes, they
did. They had one of those in Chubbs. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Carson went through a Yag phase.
I remember that.
Carson was a big Yag guy.
Like, he was a Yag bomb. Yag and Red Bull.
Yeah, he would make like tumblers full of just like Yag bombs.
I know. That one spring ball when we did Jungle Juice at your guys' place, when Zach Koontz and G-Wags were spitting in the Jungle Juice. Carson.
Those guys.
Just an absolute menace move. They probably started COVID now that we're thinking about it.
Dude, I can literally picture Cars with the tumbler. And you're like, yeah. Cars, what are you drinking? And he's like,
Red Bull.
And then you'd be like, what? And he'd be like, no, it's good. It's good. And like, oh my God.
I love you, Carson.
Yeah,
I really love
you too, but that's sickening.
Yeah. I won't say what I was just going to say.
Good. What's your number two?
It crossed my brain and I didn't say it. In Cordell's vein, I thought he was going to go in a different direction of the like fruity drinks. But when you go out with chicks our age and younger, like college age, their choice when they go up is a Grape Ape or a Lemon Drop.
Grape Ape, baby.
And it makes me want to throw up every time I see it.
Grape Ape, Chuck Norris.
Dude, just the gut rot that comes from it is so horrible. I hate it. It's a ripoff. A Chuck Norris is liquid ice and UV red, yeah. And you paid $6 a shot for that.
Yeah, it's tough.
I hate Lemon Drops.
Exactly.
I don't want to drink a shot on ice through a straw. Keep the Grape Ape. I'm done with both of those.
That's exactly my reasoning for all those fruity drinks, bro. It's like, no, that's gut rot right there.
Yep. And I will shoot most alcohol straight. I can pour it up and go.
Right.
But it makes me gag in my mouth when somebody hands me a Lemon Drop.
Yeah. All right, Cordell, it's time. Number one sit on alcohol. What do you got?
Guys, you know, I don't want to brag, but I'm going to win with this one.
All right, whatever.
So, you know, when you're sitting at the bar, I mean, you're two sheets to the wind, like it's time for you to go home.
Yeah.
And your buddy orders up like a round of Jameson shots.
It breathes life right into those lungs, baby. Let's go.
And you hit that, and then it's instantly to the closest garbage can.
Jameson is the alcohol version of smelling salts. They just hold that to your nose, and you're like, whoa! I am a JMO guy, though. I love a car bomb. I love just shots of JMO. But it's obviously whiskey, but it does taste like battery acid, so I'm with you. That's a good call. Everybody has a friend in the friend group that's a JMO guy too, and everybody hates him.
Exactly.
So my number one, I've done it one time, and it's not the freshman spring ball. It's not Tennessee Honey and UV Red. Even though I did drink half bottle of each, which obviously
I've had horrible experiences from UV Red.
Yeah, that's universal. But I'm at the OB. And my buddy Cope, Cordell, you know Cope, right?
I know Cope.
And you know Cope.
Yeah.
I don't know if Cope listens to this, but I had to ask him what the drink was called today because I forgot.
What a sweet name.
Yeah.
What a sweet name.
Jake Copenhaver. Yeah. One of the most interesting people in the world. Sorry to interrupt you, but he's a teacher now. He's educating the.
And those kids just bully the shit out of him.
The
too.
Minds of the youth. But he, like, petitioned New Balance. He only wore New Balance cleats in football when he was playing at Carrington.
Yeah.
And he, like, made them dig them out of like some closet to send him every pair they had.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are my Cope stories.
And that's also a guy that like you have no idea his name is Jake.
Yeah.
Or Jacob.
It's like Howie.
Yeah.
That guy's name's Cope.
Yeah. Anyways, this was 2019, the summer of 2019. That was my skinny phase, not to brag. I'm at the OB and he comes up to me and he's like, hey, you want to do a shot? I said, yeah, let's do one. And he orders a Prairie Fire.
Oh.
And buddy.
That's Tanner's thing too.
I don't want to say trauma, but the experience of the waitress. He said, "Hey, can I get two Prairie Fire shots?" The look she gave him and just said, "Are you sure?
Are you okay?"
I thought she was gonna like pull out a waiver for us to sign.
Yeah.
She asked us like three times, and I was already drunk, and he was drunk too. But like he knew what he was ordering, and he was like, "Yeah, there's two of them."
Yeah.
Do they use tequila or whiskey in them, the OB?
I think
it's tequila.
It's tequila, but I think certain places will do it with whiskey.
So I think the OB was whiskey that night. I think the girl that made it that night was whiskey. And it's whiskey. And it's whiskey. And what? It's one more ingredient. It's a big old dollop of Tabasco in there.
Yeah.
And buddy.
That's what makes it the fire.
When I when I took that shot, I just had no idea what I was in for. Yeah. I just could not believe that someone came up with that. Can't believe he made me drink that. And like to this day, I've just never, I don't think I've ever had a drink that I've hated more.
So there's a lot wrong with that. One, I think if you order something like that, you're just an asshole who wants to order it because you're like, yeah, you're like, look what I shoot. Yeah. Which like, that being Tanner's shot also makes sense. But
100%.
It's a psycho move to offer you a shot, and then he buys you a Prairie Fire, and then he drinks one himself. That's a psycho move by Cope.
Yeah.
There's a lot wrong there.
Yeah.
My number one, there's a lot associated with this, mainly Zach Kubis at Chubbs. You guys know what I'm talking about. Peppermint Schnapps is just...
It was ice hole too, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So Peppermint Schnapps is the one thing that I will not touch. If it's being passed around, I'm that guy. I won't drink it. Mainly because when I was of age, depending on who you ask or where you're drinking, my dad took me ice fishing with one of his buddies, and all we had was a bottle of Peppermint Schnapps and 330 racks of Keystone Light. We left with no Keystone Light and an extra empty bottle of Peppermint Schnapps over 2 days. And, dude, when I tell you, I felt like that SpongeBob meme where he doesn't know where he is and everything's blurry around him. I've never felt that feeling before.
Bro, speaking of Peppermint Schnapps, Cordell, I know you don't listen to the episodes, but last week we talked about me failing. I didn't actually fail, but I bombed this final, right? Freshman year when I was 21 years old, Kenley, the night before, had left a mint Dr. McGillicuddy's underneath the seat of my car. And after I bombed that final,
you did not.
I got that bottle out from the car. I went into the dorm room and I just deep chugged like four of them just to top the bottle off.
School has never made me that sad.
Buddy, I mean, that was one of the grossest. I mean, it was like warming up toothpaste and putting it on ice.
Oh, dude.
It is an insane drink. I don't really have honorable mentions for sit-ups. I just thought of a drink. Do you guys remember Palm Breezies?
Yeah. Yeah. Joey, I love those.
Those were White Claws, basically, before White Claws. They were juice.
Yeah.
But like that's what the white girls drank.
Yeah, and they were like 3.8%. Like they were hardly alcohol.
Yeah.
But speaking of White Claw, I don't think anybody has ever fumbled a lead harder than White Claw did in that industry.
Yeah.
Because when it was my freshman year, Truly was horrible. Oh. They hadn't figured it
out
yet.
Truly is terrible. Truly Lemonade's like saved that company.
Yeah, Truly is fine, and they're crushing it now.
Yeah.
But White Claw had its grips on
the whole country.
At least on North Dakota State University. Oh,
it was the whole country.
And that, like, is White Claw even in business anymore?
I don't know.
It's not good.
Because all these other beer companies were like, oh, we'll just do seltzer better than you now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Cordell, we appreciate you coming on, buddy. Do you have any honorable mentions?
Too many to count. Bud Light.
Yeah.
Bud Light is just one of those that I'm going to have a headache. Even if I just have one of them, I'm going to have a raging headache.
Careful. That's an official NFL sponsor.
Yeah, he's there.
Easy, buddy.
Oh,
isn't it funny that if you just you're saved. Anheuser-Busch, they won't come get you. But isn't it funny how you just switched to Budweiser and you have such a better experience from Bud Light?
It is crazy.
Bud Heavy.
It is crazy how
diesels.
Bud Heavies.
That's how I knew Easton Stick was legit. When he came in, he was 21, of course. We were all hanging out, and I see him drinking Bud Light or Budweiser Pounders, and I'm like, okay, he's the man.
Yeah. Cordell, both of you guys know what the winner show is. This was the first time me and Zach probably, because this was the spring I was going into O-line. So it was the February before spring ball. So obviously I had known Willis a while, but like we had never like sat next to each other and like hate each other like we do now. We were like actually cordial back then. But I went to
worst years of my life.
I went to the winter show and at my buddy Levi's house, he lived in Valley. Before we went there, we played Boom Cup, and I lost the Boom Cup game like 8 times in a row. And when I went there, you know, you have to buy the beer at the concert and then they just give you a bag. I handed the lady $40 and I just said, "Give me Bud Heavies." because I was just hammered. And I went on to drink like 10 Budweisers that night. And it was like, it was the best, it was the best beer experience I've ever had.
And it was actually fun. Winter Show is, it's, dude, Cordell, that's, Winter, I don't know if you've ever been to Winter Show.
Winter
that's
Show your, is a good time.
That's your type of place. It's literally, if you're not familiar, it's just a big Quonset in Valley City.
And everyone's on dirt.
I know what it is and stuff. I've just never been to it.
Yeah, that's actually kind of shocking that you never made your way out there. We went and saw, it was Lee Bryce. So like an actual, like pretty good concert.
Something Allen.
I don't know.
It was a black dude.
Oh,
something Allen. Johnny Allen? John Allen? I don't know.
Jimmy Allen.
Jimmy Allen. Thank you.
Jimmy Allen, Lee Bryce. We went out and saw them. Good. We were not together. You were with your buddies. I was with my mom and my grandma.
And I was dancing. Every time the guitar string would go, I would act like it's a rap song beat drop. And just, I mean, that was the, God.
It looked, when the last song got played, show's over. You know, closing time. Everybody's going home. They're going to wherever you drink at in Valley City. I see Quinn, like, getting pulled out by his buddies. Looked like he just got in a fight at the OB. Drenched in sweat. Had a chew in. And
I'll tell you why.
The time of his life.
No. I'll tell you. Here's what happened. Drank all day. Drank a half bottle of Apple Crown. Lost Boom Cup. I don't know how many times. Drank 10 or so Bud Heavies. So obviously I'm just drunk, but I am still functional for the most part. We're at like the second to last song and Levi reaches around and puts two Zins in my bottom lip.
Yep.
I'm not a guy who chews. Oh dude, it just sent me. I've never experienced like that quick of a like downhill slope. Like within 2 minutes, I just rush to the bathroom. I mean, I, you know, do everything to get it out of my system. And yeah, that pretty much ended my night. And the next day I drove to Kindred and reffed a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that I had to sign up for Bison Pride points.
Love that. Cordell, you also saw me at my lowest moment with chewing tobacco when we watched the Super Bowl at your place and I had Zins. You remember that?
Yeah, it was you left all the wings out in the front yard.
Yeah, and then I it was right before halftime I put them in. It was Bucks Chiefs, whatever Super Bowl that was. Yep. And I think I bummed three of them from Butel. And he's like, "Are you going to put all those in right now?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I wouldn't do that." I put it in. I started profusely sweating.
Oh, it's a terrible experience.
Like that gif of Jordan Peele where he's just like water pouring down his face is what I look like. I couldn't eat any of the food. And then I go upstairs at halftime and I just had to go do it. I had to go throw up outside.
Okay, this is a great time for this. Prompt to segment, Cordell, when, where, and what was the first thing you ever chewed?
First time you ever chewed.
Well, give me the scenario because I have one.
I was, I was a freshman. I'm not going to say whether it was freshman college or high school.
Okay, I was going to say. Yeah, right. Freshman college.
A little Skull Cool Mint.
Oh.
Jesus.
And you're a Copenhagen guy now, I imagine.
Still? I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah. You've been fairly loyal to that brand.
I think they should sponsor me.
Dude, that'd be sweet.
If you get a Skull and a Miller Lite sponsorship this off season, I mean, what else can you ask for?
A big deck barbecue sponsorship.
True. My first time ever, junior year of high school. Ooh, I was 18, blah.
Okay, Jake Kubis.
Yeah, we were in a hot tub at my buddy's house, and it was wintergreen long cut.
Yeah.
And in a hot tub in the winter, wintergreen, and someone said, yeah, I think we're supposed – he's like, I know most people chew it, but I think we should gut it.
Ugh.
And we gutted wintergreen long cut for like 20 minutes, and I didn't throw up, but like I was just – my skin was just like yellow. Like, just completely white.
You're a menace.
Yeah, it's terrible.
In a hot tub sounds like the worst place to have your first.
I mean, the sweat that was going into that hot tub.
Like, when you're a seasoned veteran, like, Cordell when you have to like stuff it between your toes to get a buzz because you've done it so much. Guys like him, like
he learned that from
like,
Riley.
Like Cordell sitting in the snow in a hot tub, it sounds like a perfect place for him to throw a chew in. But
it does.
My first time was freshman year, before old Donnie T changed the tobacco age to 21. Had walked from
oh, that's a real thing.
Oh yeah.
Really?
It's 21, not 18.
Huh.
But yeah, I barely made it.
Yeah, and that's actually funny because Jake Kubis was forced to buy everything for everybody as a freshman. He got on campus at 17 in the summer, and then when he turned 18, like immediately they changed it to 21. But we walked over to Loaf and Jug, affectionately known as other things, if you're familiar. You don't even say it, you big animal. Mike I heard Kelly. It.
Big Mike Kelly.
Yeah. We walked over there. I got a tin of Grizz Wintergreen long cut and walked back home with it in. We get downstairs. You guys know how house parties are when you're freshmen. It's 85 degrees. It's nuts to butts everywhere in there. And again, profusely sweating, like holding puke in my mouth, spewing between my fingers, running to the bathroom. And that immediately turned it off. The next time I chewed, Cordell, you should feel honored, was with you after we won some playoff game. We threw in a chaw and went and showered together. It was pretty cool.
Hell yeah. That's one of the best chaws.
That's just guys being
thrown right one there. In. That's all it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it, buddy. If you're in Fargo this offseason, we'll have to do an in-studio one. Just get it real.
I would love that.
Just get it real sweaty in here.
Yeah.
Don't, maybe we'll throw in. Great. We should actually throw in some
chaws. Should we do a grew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We're playing for that.
Just don't be like Buto if you're in Fargo. Actually say hi to us.
Yeah. Don't just come see
you
a
know,
lady.
You know I'll say hi. Yeah. Buto. Shout out Mike Buto, though. D-line coach at Sioux Falls.
Is he really? Good for him.
Nice.
Yeah. Well,
that's a nice move up.
That's
right
a
away.
Good spot. He's actually right above my left shoulder in the studio.
Yeah.
We all know Big Buttes. Just one of the goofiest guys that we've ever met. Hasn't had a serious talk ever in his life. And just has the coldest championship picture of all time taken.
It's one of the best.
He's got the cigar in his mouth. Fingers
it is
all
probably
wrapped.
With the best because of the fingertip. You know?
Yeah, the fingertip.
And the wrist brace.
And then he's holding the trophy. Like, this is a picture Cordell should have taken, but it's Buttes.
No one more deserving than the Buttes.
That's true.
You're damn right.
Well, I'm not going to tell you good luck. I know you hate that phrase.
Good luck, Cordell.
Yeah, good luck, buddy. I mean, really, though, like, me and Willis is longtime former Chargers fans. What the Chiefs have done to the Chargers the last 2 years, I just hope you go in there and kick the shit out of them.
Yeah, that's the main reason. Your personal success is, you know, somewhere on the list. I won't say where, but we want you to beat the Chiefs to get some vindication for us.
All right, I'll try my best.
Good stuff, buddy. We'll be watching you on Sunday. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. I love listening.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, give a retweet and Instagram share. I'm asking for your help. Let's get some Cincy people in the demographic here for the listeners.
Yeah.
All right. I won't do Twitter until after the season, but okay. I can do some Insta stuff.
That's fair.
Cool. Hopefully, the man.
I don't think we got you into too much trouble on this one.
No.
It should be listenable.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. Go get the mind right. Get the body right. Let's go get after these Chiefs on Sunday, huh?
That's right. I appreciate you guys.
See you, pal.
Love you, man. Go Bengals.
All right, later.
All right. We just had our good buddy Cordell. Grab the mic. We're not done yet. We're just going to do a little outro here. Cordell is literally an all-timer.
Yeah.
He is one of the best on and off the field. Hope you guys enjoy. Let us know if, obviously, there's access things, but like if you had favorite Bison players that were in the league or not in the league that you guys want us to try to get in touch with to talk to, we'd be more than happy to.
Yeah, we'll try our best.
We have some in our mind, but like, you know, being former players, we can usually get guys on. So we appreciate Cordell coming on. Go cheer for the Bengals. Even you, Dad, Tyson.
Yeah, Tyson. Positive Tyson on Twitter. Let's go.
Yeah, yep. We need some better vibes from you.
Yeah. Oh, I should have asked Cordell about Eli Apple. That dude,
he fired off another one at Stephon.
Woo!
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah. We won't get into the serious stuff like with the transfer portal and everything. We'll probably talk about that next week when we don't have a guest. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
Just look forward to that when we have it.
But update, obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday the 24th. Noah Pauley, officially the next wide receiver coach for the Iowa State Cyclones.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's awesome.
I said it with Coach Braun. He's one of the, like, good dudes to his core in the profession, and Coach Pauley is the same. He's a great dude. Yep. Just being honest, like, across every level, every locker room, wide receivers are some of the toughest rooms to deal with just because there's egos and the fact of, like, who's catching the ball, who's going to be the star. And Coach Pauley handled that stuff with absolute grace and got a lot out of guys that maybe wouldn't have from a different coach. So, very happy for him to advance his career heading to Iowa State.
For sure. And even, like, guys that were obviously good receivers for us, I think making them better, too.
Absolutely.
Along the same lines, just getting stuff out of guys that maybe other people couldn't. Not that
he was instrumental in Christian's development and where he is now. And
absolutely.
He's going to go do the same thing at Iowa State.
So. Yeah. So we'll have a transfer portal pod next week when we have maybe a little bit less to talk about, but it will come eventually. So
yeah, I think it's something we have to talk about and give our inside and outside of a Twitter space. So
yeah,
appreciate you guys listening. It's always great to have Cordell on and chop it up, but like I said, reach out with any suggestions. If you have stardom sit-em suggestions or, you know, somebody you'd like us to get in touch with, doesn't have to be a former athlete.
In three weeks there will be no more football, so
we're going to need to fill some airtime.
WTF win and next man up, because
are we going to become a basketball?
I was just going to say, let's be honest, we don't watch basketball. Yeah. So that's not going to happen. But yeah, just give us some segments. We can do some current events too.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to get political, but, you know. I
prefer we didn't.
Yeah. Just current events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for sticking in this long.
Go Bison. Go Bengals.